welcome to the Deuce Podcast. I'm Brad.
And I'm Jeremy.
And today we'll be finishing up our patriotic movies, correct?
Yep, the last of our patriotic series.
And what are we doing today?
We are doing Legally Blonde 2, Red, White, and Blonde.
Correct. Starring the great Reese Witherspoon.
Reese with Reese a spoon.
With a spoon. Not and without her spoon.
Not Reese without a spoon.
This movie clocks in at, it's a pretty quick movie, actually.
Yeah, it's like an hour and 30-some minutes.
30-some minutes.
It's hard to believe they can get all that deep material in that.
It's pretty deep.
Short of time.
It's pretty deep.
Yeah. It's deep, all right.
You got, like, the movie The Fountain and then this movie. Those are probably the deep, like, really deep movies.
But I thought The Fountain was the sequel to this.
Anyway. So, the movie is on Hulu. Streaming now on Hulu. So if you're a Hulu subscriber, you can watch the first one too.
Congratulations, you can get both of them.
Congratulations, you can watch
actually.
That.
Can you get all? Can you get?
I don't know if you can get the third one.
Legally Blondes.
You probably. I don't know.
Video.
Maybe.
Who knows?
But I know that you can get the first one, and you can get the one that we are deucing today, Legally Blonde 2, Red, White, and Blonde.
Yes, you absolutely can.
Yeah. But before we get into it all, we would like to say that there's other podcasts out there that you should listen to, but you know what? Don't take our word for it.
Did you ever see a film at such a young age it left you traumatized with cinematic wounds?
Necrophilia.
It's a dead issue, man. Don't push it. Cinema Psyops is a weekly podcast documenting an ongoing experiment on the mind of an unwilling test subject.
No one should have to watch this movie.
Oh, no one should have to watch this.
No one should have to watch this movie.
Surprisingly, it's not a topic that a lot of people really want to tackle.
I'm shocked, prudes.
I know, really.
Right?
It's the next sexual frontier that no one wants to explore.
I am, in the most sincerest of senses, disappointed in it.
It takes a powerful goddess like Connie, jam her arm down the monster's throat and kill it. I'm still tripping out over that. Even as a kid, I was like, I gotta find a girl like that. Every week, I get a new look of disappointment that I never thought I could get out of
it. Unimaginable. At 12 years old, you should not be watching this movie.
Obviously.
At 13, you should not be. 14, you shouldn't be. I'm not entirely sure even 17-year-olds should be watching this movie.
Just because you're offended by something doesn't mean that you have the right to demand that it doesn't exist. Watching this film again, I had all of this, like, little nerd glee with everything that kept popping up.
Little history doll popping up
absolutely.
At you.
So I totally loved this film.
Hey, I know why you know, couldn't see that. It's because your brain's warped from watching this shit at 12 years old.
Yeah, this is a rough movie. I told you ahead of time when we were getting ready to do it that it was going to be a rough
one. How did you watch this shit at 12?
Because physical wounds heal, cinematic ones don't. Listen to Cinema Psyops.
And welcome back to the Deuce. I'm Brad.
And I am still Jeremy.
That's right. We want to introduce ourselves twice. Because twice, it's just nice.
There
right?
you go.
Just
there
like sequels. Go. See what I did there?
You did.
Yeah, I took
nice
a mistake. And I made it our own. And I said, I'm going to go with it.
There you go.
Yeah. So again, like we said before, it is the Reese Witherspoon classic, the second Legally Blonde movies, Legally Blonde, Red, White, and Blonde, all three of those colors. Maybe they should have made three movies, and it should have been Red, White, and Blonde.
She's too old to do a new one now.
You're right.
They'd have to call it Legally Blonde.
We'll talk
blind.
About that at the end of the... No, we'll talk about that at the end of the podcast. Come on, let's don't get ahead of ourselves.
Okay.
Sheesh. Any background on this movie that we can think of? Reese Witherspoon was pregnant?
She was pregnant during this.
She wore wigs because of she was doing Sweet Home Alabama, that she did this movie.
Yeah.
So a lot of those were wigs that she was wearing.
Yeah, her hair was not long enough. There's a lot of people were involved in other projects too. So
right.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true too. Yeah. I just can't think of them. Like Sally Field probably wasn't doing anything, was she? Brothers and
Boniva
Sisters.
Boniva commercials.
Yeah, this was about the time where she was doing Brothers and Sisters on ABC. I think so. Maybe. I don't know. I never watched it.
But Boniva, right?
But like, she was doing Boniva commercials too as well. Yeah, she was. Like, she had a resurgence there after a while, yeah. There was a ton of dog extras in this movie.
There right? were.
Yeah, and they got like screen credit.
Yeah, so later on in the movie, they called out tons, basically probably every dog extra that they could get. Yeah.
Go, let's go.
Yeah. And all of the dogs, every one of them got credit. They got screen credit for it. But all of the production assistants who worked on it for like weeks and weeks and weeks received no such screen credit. So you're welcome.
You're welcome.
You're lower than dogs, a screen assistant.
So it's time to drop the deuce on our final in our series of patriotic movies.
Yep.
I don't know how patriotic this movie really is.
It is.
Somewhat.
We're
in Washington.
Is.
Yeah, okay. We'll give it that.
Yeah. It's... For any, it's basically the same thing. For anybody who's seen the Simpsons episode where Lisa Simpson goes to Washington D.C. and kind of gets disillusioned, and like everybody rallies and shows that there's the you know, they're still good in Washington. It's basically the same premise.
So you're saying just watch that Simpsons episode?
Yeah, and it's much more entertaining than this one is. I think this movie gets a bad shake. Honestly do.
But we'll talk about that.
Yeah, we will.
Yeah. Yeah.
So let's
drop the deuce.
Let's drop it.
Okay.
So
Kaplunk.
Yeah. So we start out the movie, and we talk about different ways that they go through and do kind of like the expository dialogue.
Right.
And
we
say,
talk about this a lot on
refresh
our podcast where we go.
Yeah.
Previously on blah blah blah. How is this movie going to show that?
Yeah.
Or are they going to show it?
Yeah. And so. This one actually does a really interesting thing, I think.
It's interesting. I enjoy it a little bit.
Yeah. It's fine. It starts out with, appropriately, like a scrapbook. It's like a pink scrapbook with, you know, feathers on it and glittery stuff and whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a scrapbook that it's her friends from the first movie, Margot, played by Jessica Caulfield, Serena, who is played by Alana Ubach from Waiting. And Beekman's World.
Yeah.
And then Paulette, Jennifer Coolidge, they are going through...
Two Broke Girls.
From Two Broke Girls and American Pie, Stifler's mm-hmm. Mom. They are putting together a scrapbook for Elle's upcoming wedding. And they show... it's kind of interesting. They show stuff from the first movie so that you have that.
Right.
They show... They do some expository things like here's Elle. They talk about here's Elle meeting with this Congresswoman Victoria Rudd, who's played by Sally Fields, because they started
Boliva.
They started a Women's of Harvard group together. And she goes, here's where she, you know, met this fancy congresswoman. And so we get a little expository about what Elle's been doing since then. And then we even go back and talk about her childhood and, like, show her with Bruiser when she was young. So it's kind of interesting that they...
True fact. I read that was that dog's trainer.
Yeah, the little girl who was with...
Girl.
Yeah, that dog's trainer.
Yeah. So they lucked
the
out.
The dog who in real life is named, I believe, Moondoggy.
Okay. Yeah.
So,
Moondoggy.
So they go through this whole... This thing, so they're doing like a, it's like a threefer. They're giving you backstory.
Yeah.
They're giving you new story, and they're recapping from the last one.
Yeah, so it's done fairly well. I mean,
and it's
you know,
done and it's up. It's true to
the aesthetic of Legally Blonde.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And there's clever little things in there. Like there's a part where they have Sally Field and Reese Witherspoon shaking hands in the scene. And they go, oh, I like her. I really, really like her.
Which is Sally Field's acceptance speech from the Academy Awards when she won for Norma Rae.
Yep.
There you go.
There you go.
I watch classy movies besides this.
So they reveal Elle's now working in a big law firm. So she got hired on there after the last movie.
Did we know the name of the law firm? I didn't really get the name. It's kind of not really important.
I didn't really pay attention to it.
Yeah, that's fine.
But it's some big fancy schmancy Boston law firm or whatever. Her friends, she's talking about, she shows them this snow globe that she got that shows her and Emmett, played by Luke Wilson, her future husband, getting married at Fenway Park. Now, one of my big beefs, and this is it's a really bad thing that happens with Jennifer Coolidge, like on all of her roles. I get it. Jennifer Coolidge plays Ditzy really well, with a lot of things. Mm-hmm. But she'll go, she'll play ditzy for part of it, and then she'll just go to downright idiotic.
Yeah, kind
of. And I'm
of.
Like, what? Like,
there's
what?
Like no happy medium.
Yeah. And she just does it with gusto, but she does it. She goes, she picks up the snow globe, says, she goes, ah, I love snow globes, and puts it up to her ear, saying, I can hear the ocean.
Now, out of all the impressions that Jeremy's done in the 15 episodes that we've done this show, that was the best.
Yes.
Spot on, Jennifer Coolidge. I thought she was doing the podcast right here with me. Congratulations.
So they basically, they surprise Elle with this, like, wedding shower gift from the three of them.
Yeah.
And Elle reveals she's not quitting her job. She's got a career. She's a career woman. And she can do that, and she can get married. She can have it all, which the other girls seem a little horrified by, but, you know, she's sticking to her guns.
She is. She's sticking to her guns, folks.
Elle later informs Emmett that she's arranged for them to get married, because he loves Fenway Park and the Red Sox, that she's arranged for them to get married by an ordained umpire under the Green Monster. So he's excited. And
all those
calls
ordained
him,
umpires out there.
Yeah, the ordained tons. Umpires. They can be that. Umpires can be two things.
I'm sure there's a website, ordainedumpires.com. Look it up. It's probably something stupid.
The guy from Major League 2 who
right.
worked this is probably...
right. He probably also can marry people. So there you go.
I bet he can. Go find him.
He's never going to answer my email. Answer it. Go ahead.
So, of course, Emmett's really excited about this, so he's just over the moon. But she says she wants to invite their friends and loved ones.
It's about 3 months and 4 days until the wedding, or about this time. I wrote that down.
Yeah, for, yeah,
you know,
that's right.
Just for to know what the time frame.
Yeah. So she all of a sudden Bruiser, again played by, well, now long dead Chihuahua Moondoggy, starts freaking out. And Elle, seeming to know what he wants, says, oh my God, I didn't consider it, Bruiser. I'm sorry. And then next scene is her and a private detective going to find America Bruiser Woods' mother and father. She wants the mother, but she knows it'll be a little bit tough for the father because, you know, men. Oh.
So, I mean, that's the motivation.
Yeah,
that's pretty much
find,
the plot.
She wants to find Bruiser's
birth mother
to invite her to their wedding.
Right. And why wouldn't you?
It makes total sense.
You know. Doggone it, you should.
Okay, so Elle is the belle of the ball at work. So she goes to her law firm. She's walking around. Everybody obviously likes her.
Oh, I put that. It's because she wants a Martha Stewart wedding. Martha Stewart says that you should have everyone close.
Yeah.
Including the people who are very close to you. And those people include dogs.
It's true.
Okay.
It's true. You should have a whole army of chihuahuas, little rat
should.
Dogs everywhere.
You should.
So she goes to work. Everybody loves her. They're talking about how she's going to go far. And
she's bringing coffee to everyone.
Yeah.
She's a rising star.
Yeah.
In this thing.
Yeah, she is.
Nothing can stop her.
No, so she gets to her assistant, and her assistant.
Played by John Mulaney. Oh, that wasn't John Mulaney?
No.
Again, a John Mulaney joke. Look him up, folks.
By some faux John Mulaney.
actually, what was his name? The actor's name was Sam Pancake?
His real name in real life is Sam Pancake.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
I'm Patty Pancake.
Yeah, I'm George Waffle.
And so,
I'm like, Bob French Toast.
So obviously she's just gotten there. So like,
yeah,
this
right?
is instantaneous. The private detective shows up. And it's kind of been like she barely probably left his office, and he's like, well, I've been waiting to reveal this, and just brings it with him. Probably the easiest money he's ever collected. He probably he probably found a picture of a chihuahua online and was like, give me money now,
please.
Is this a screenshot from Beverly Hills Chihuahua? Perfect.
Let's do it.
Bruiser, meet your mom.
So he shows up like instantly at her office saying he found Bruiser's mother, which apparently includes like an 8x10 headshot, a black and white glossy headshot of this Chihuahua. So Elle takes Bruiser and they go to meet his mom. So they arrive at this. They pull up and the wall says Versace.
And she's like, wow, this is the secret headquarters.
Yes.
Of, go ahead.
And so, it gets better. So she's like, oh, it's the Versace secret test lab.
Yeah, right.
And so when they try to get in, they're stopped by a security guard, a bit player with who has been in other movies. She was also in
our first episode.
Yeah, very first Miss Congeniality 2.
Yeah.
Armed and Fabulous.
Yeah. Oscar winner.
Octavia Spencer.
Octavia Spencer.
She plays a security guard.
So two. There's three Oscar winners in this. Sally three. Field, her, and Octavia Spencer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Poor Octavia Spencer, in 2003, she was security guard. Yeah. It didn't even have a name.
Yeah. I thought this was 2006.
Was it 2006?
Yeah, well, whatever. She was security guard. Come on.
Yeah, she was security guard. But it was a step up from when she was no name, half a second, not credited lady at bookstore.
Lady at bookstore. From Miss
Congeniality, too.
She had a couple lines.
She did.
On screen. We could see her.
So, security guard, this might have just been Octavia Spencer at the time. I do this on the side, I'm sorry. So, security guard tells Elle that she cannot get in unless she has a pass. So, Elle tries to get in using her Versace Platinum card or whatever. Security guard says, it's not that Versace. And she goes, well, what do you mean? And all of a sudden, Bruiser makes a break for it.
Yet, both the fonts were the same. I noticed that.
Yeah.
I was like, okay.
Well, and also, it says, when they're pulling up outside, right. It says Versace in huge letters.
But it's like an acronym.
But then it has the little dots, the periods between each letter.
Everyone knows acronyms. I think they're BS.
And that's incredibly true.
Yeah.
So, Bruiser runs up. Elle runs up after him. Security guard does a really great job because after that, she's nowhere to be seen. Like, she's not even stopping them anymore. Elle follows Bruiser, and Bruiser is kind of standing at these windows. Elle picks him up and sees animals being tested on. She asks them to release Bruiser's mom. So this lab tech, who's played by James Urbaniak, I believe that's how you say it.
Yeah,
who's,
sure.
Dr. Venture from the Venture Brothers, yeah. Or in Henry Fool.
A very great independent movie called Henry Fool,
yep.
A Hal Hartley film. See, I've got taste.
There you go. Yeah, he plays Simon Grimm,
mm-hmm.
In that. And he
and
was
then
in
the other movies.
Mean
the
People
movies.
And like, yeah. Some other things. Yeah, mm-hmm.
Some other movies.
He comes up and says he can't let the dog out. She says, well, can you just let me in or whatever? And he says, he's like, lady, I don't even have a key. You swallow one key and suddenly you're the weird key swallower guy.
That's true.
And
the way he delivered that, though, was pretty
good.
Yes,
he's very good about just delivering very flat lines in like a very like humorous, intense way. And I was cracking up because it makes me laugh. He's great. Elle goes back to work, and of course her assistant goes to meet her and shows what he's found. So, Versace...
What does Versace stand for? What's the acronym stand for?
So they pull up the webpage.
Go ahead. You say it.
It's a testing lab.
Mm-hmm.
It's the Veterinary Experimentation Research Science and Critter Exploitation. That's what Versace stands for. And their slogan,
go ahead.
We test makeup on animals so you don't have to.
Right, so you don't have to. Right, okay. Now, this is not to be confused with Adidas, which stands for Animal Detention Institute of Ducks and Snakes.
Okay.
Because we don't want them around.
Yeah, no.
Don't get that confused.
You put them in lockup.
Yeah.
Yeah. Put them in lockup.
You don't want to know what Skechers stands for.
The epit, the S stands for Simeon. Anyway, the so it's they learn it's owned by the Se Magnifique Corporation, who makes a lot of makeups, and that's one of them that like Elle uses their products. And she learns, wait a minute, we represent Se Magnifique.
Right, the, her law firm does.
Yeah, her law
the
firm does.
She works for.
You know,
she
conveniently
doesn't personally, but
yeah. So she makes sure that she presents this slideshow to the partners, saying that they need to urge. It's like all about Bruiser's background too, like talking about how he was on the street turning tricks.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so he, they say, she says we have to do the right thing. And so of course now she's wasted all these important people's times. She says, you know, we need to do the right thing. And they said, I'm sorry.
I'm sorry. That's a better movie. Sure. Oh, wait.
Well, they said, well, okay, well, you're confusing this. You know, the lawyers, or we have to do the legal thing, not the right thing. Like, they're within their rights to do this stuff. So you can't stop them. And she says she can't work for people like that that wouldn't do the right thing.
Right.
And they say, you know what? You're absolutely right. You shouldn't have to work with people who do that. You're fired.
But I'm like, what? That doesn't make sense to me. Like, first she was a bright star. Hey, we're going to talk about your future. Like, with the first 5 minutes of the meeting. And now she's fired for bringing
up? They said, obviously, you can't take this seriously.
Okay.
But that happened in the first movie also.
Oh,
she, like,
okay.
Yeah, it was everywhere she went. They were like, yeah. you're just a ditzy blonde who can't take this seriously. And as you know, as we go through here, you see that again.
It's pretty much a copycat of that.
Yeah. But there's some truth behind it, too, though.
That she can't take it seriously?
No, that people will treat that like she has to work twice as hard.
Right. I mean, they dealt with that in the first movie. Fairly better than this movie.
So now back at home, Elle has locked herself in the bathroom, and she is just bawling. Emmett, I think was his name, coaxes her out by saying they can work on wedding plans. So she obviously goes for that.
Right.
She's getting her wedding cuts later to her getting her wedding dress.
Mm-hmm.
There's
a diorama
Oh, God, that's right.
And my favorite part of this is that the whole diorama, because it's a diorama of the Fenway Park. Right. My whole thing is then there's a Goodyear blimp, but it's strapped to Bruiser's head.
Yeah.
So I kind of like that.
Yeah.
I kind of like whoever trains Bruiser actually does a good job. Because that dog has to go through a lot of things in these movies.
And that, you know what, and Bruiser is adorable.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not, honestly, and my apologies to all the Chihuahua lovers out there. I've never been a big Chihuahua
fan.
No,
I haven't either.
But, you know, they're fine dogs. But Bruiser is very, like, very calm and very, like, just has these cute little expressions on his face. He's adorable.
Mm-hmm.
They picked the right dog. The right casting director got the right dog. So,
he had to audition for that.
Well, I'm sure.
That was a whole, like, Death of a Salesman
monologue. They
probably
actually did. Animals have to audition for
stuff. Oh, yeah, Death of a Salesman monologue. Oh, he had to do it all.
Soliloquy of,
did to be or not to be.
Richard III. Elle is now getting her wedding dress made. But it's not working. Like, the fabrics aren't meshing together the way she wanted in the style, even though she researched it.
Right.
And they're talking about a lot of things, but I just put in the ensuing dumb conversation.
With Jennifer Coolidge
and these other women, which one of them has been in other stuff. She's like a character actress. I just don't remember what she's
in. Yeah,
no. She realizes that if laws won't work to help the animals, then she needs to change the laws to help the animals.
At this point, I just kept picturing Bruiser's mom with red lipstick and blush.
Yeah.
And I just kept, wait, no, never mind. It was just Jennifer Coolidge. Sorry, never mind.
So she says she needs to go where she can make a difference. Paulette ridiculously interjects, Cosmopolitan magazine. Because that's what Jennifer Coolidge sounds.
It's the best impression.
L corrects her immediately.
Is better than your James Earl Jones impression. Go ahead.
Anyway, so
I just never heard you say it like that. Go ahead.
So L instantly gets a job with Congressman Rudd.
Instantly.
Yeah, she's just like, I'm off to D.C.
Congressman Rudd is Paul Rudd. Her son?
Yeah.
Oh, no, come on. I'm just joking.
It has to be.
Yeah.
So
who's this character in Parks and Rec?
Bobby Newport?
Yeah.
Yeah, that is. It's Bobby Newport.
Maybe Bobby Newport should be in a third movie with L and they go against each other.
That'd be perfect.
I would watch that.
I would too.
Go ahead.
So L instantly has this job. And she's going to head out to work in D.C. So she's going to be gone a while. She's called, the sororities obviously have this, network to where they were able to get her an apartment right away for her to get
something.
There.
Something, yeah. She got.
And she's dressed up, of course, all patriotic because she got to do it. She's in red and white and blue. And Jennifer Coolidge says, make me want a hot dog real bad.
And she says, you go to Washington. She says something about, Dolly Madison.
Oh, okay. It's, this Congresswoman Rudd has a dog, on the cover of this magazine. And she says she's a big animal lover, so this will be perfect.
Yeah.
And her dog's name is Dolly Madison.
And Jennifer Coolidge says that her grandmother's stripper's name was Dolly
Madison. That's my grandma's stripper name!
Which mine was Betsy Ross. Because she got it all sewed up. Go ahead.
You'll love her stars and stripes. Long may she wave.
She got Betsy Ross. Because Betsy Ross got it all sewed up. And then there's Maud.
And so Paulette asks if it'll be hard to plan the wedding of the century. The wedding of the century. And change Washington all at the same time. And then, L says, if I could teach Bruiser to shop online, I think I can handle Washington.
Oh my god, I forgot. I have a joke here, and I can't say it because I'm laughing so hard.
Go on.
She says, taught Bruiser how to shop online. She says, okay, I gotta control myself.
Okay.
Okay, she said she taught Bruiser how to shop online, so she knows how to handle Washington. I said, that's how Frank Underwood became president. I can't. I'm so sorry. Okay, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry, folks.
It's all right. We're allowed to.
Oh my god. Go ahead. I think we're at Bob Newhart and the doorman, right?
What's that?
Are we at Bob Newhart?
Almost. Yeah. Okay. So she gets to her new building.
Can we just get to Bob Newhart?
They see her driving. She gets to her new building, and she's greeted by her doorman, Sid Post.
Oh, my God.
Played by Bob Newhart.
Bob Newhart, yeah. The wonderful Bob Newhart.
You're, crying.
Okay. Talk.
Okay. So she's greeted by Bob Newhart. Just doing his classic bellman bit.
The classic bellman. Go, keep going.
So she goes. Of course, everybody pervy checks her out as she walks by.
Yeah, that's kind of very pervy. Even so, for Bob Newhart.
Yeah. I think he's more just surprised. Maybe. I think everybody's surprised. Just
like, wow, she's wearing whatever.
Because she doesn't look all drab and dressed down like everybody
like
else.
Like Washington.
Yeah. So she goes through her clothes, and she's kind of picking out what outfit.
By the way, if Bob Newhart is in your hotel, this is probably all a dream.
It probably is all a dream.
I'm just saying.
I had the worst dream.
I dreamed I was a doorman, and I was helping Reese Witherspoon. Oh, that's a nightmare.
So she's going through outfits, trying to pick what to wear, and of course she goes, to Nancy, to Hillary, to Monica.
Monica, like Friends Monica?
She's making I hope.
Friends reference?
She must mean there's something spilled on that last dress. So she.
You mean Lewinsky? Okay, got that.
What?
The Lewinsky joke? Did you do a Lewinsky joke?
Yeah, I did. Okay, that's who Monica was.
I thought Monica was like Monica from Friends.
She said to Nancy, to Hillary.
Oh, God. I totally lost
Monica,
that
to Monica, okay, which I assume fine. Is like a slutty, semen-covered, whatever.
Red or blue dress.
Yeah. So instead she says one is too perfect. So she opts for this like hot pink Jackie Kennedy number.
Oh, complete. She looks like a Pam Am, like, 60s stewardess.
Yeah, it's totally Jackie Kennedy with the little pillbox hat and everything. And I was actually putting money on it that by the end of the film, she was going to be crawling in the back of a Cadillac holding John F. Kennedy's brains in her hands.
Oh, my God. That's terrible. Too soon.
Okay,
too
she
soon.
Didn't. But... we now see Rudd's office. Congressman Rudd's office.
Rudd's office. With Rudd's people who work there.
Yeah.
Who are Emmy Award winner Regina King.
Right.
As Grace.
Mm-hmm.
CTU computer analyst Chloe O'Brien.
Yep.
As whatever her name
Rena
is.
Giuliani.
Yeah. Giuliani. Yeah.
Giuliani.
And some generic guy with a sweater vest.
Yeah. They put Timothy McGinn, played by some rando.
Yeah. Never seen that guy before.
Some random dude. I thought he was, the first time I saw it, I thought he was like the guy from, he was one of the guys from that show, The Lone Gunman, which was like the X-Files.
Really?
Spin-off.
I thought it was like Ugly Betty's like boyfriend.
Really?
Ugly Betty, yeah.
But I was like, man, he's awfully young. Maybe it's because he didn't have his goatee, but it's not that guy.
That guy with the goatee? No.
So, Grace Rossiter, Rena Giuliani, and Timothy McGinn are her staffers, and they're talking about how they have to take up this animal rights bill, and they all have other things that they want to like try to get out there because they're all young. They were trying to came to DC with like dreams, so they're trying to get something going. And of course, Elle shows up, and they said, "Oh no, I'm sorry. Intern orientation is in room 216." Which will become a running bit here in a bit.
Right. They think that she's an intern.
And she's like, oh, I'm not an intern.
Right. She wasn't wearing that blue dress. Why would she be an intern?
Right. Exactly. So then Tim says, look, it's Capital Barbie. Which if
you're playing. These are recycled jokes, I swear.
Which if you're playing the legally. If you're playing Legally Drunk, the Legally Blonde drinking game, then go ahead and take a shot. Because
you mean Legally Blind Drunk.
That's true.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, that's they used that in the last one.
Yeah.
They're like, look, it's
some of these jokes lawyer are just recycled. Yeah. Recycled.
Yeah. So Rudd shows up right behind her and tells the team that she's a brilliant lawyer.
Can I
lawyer.
Tell you what though, like as far as Regina King is concerned in this scene, I do enjoy her like faces when Elle comes in and she's just like kind of slack jawed, like, who is this?
Yeah.
I kind of like reactions to that.
Yeah.
I thought they were kind of funny. You know?
Yeah.
Like,
no, Regina King always has great reactions.
Right.
She did in Miss Congeniality,
right.
too.
Like I said, like it's you know, she's not playing the same character, obviously, but, you know.
No. No. But she always plays that person who's been a little bit jaded.
Kind of.
But has a good heart.
Yeah.
Yeah, she played a lot of that. So. Yeah. They say, you know, Elle's a brilliant lawyer. You know, we're going to help her with this. She's great. You know, she'll show you the ropes. She'll show you a thing or two because she's very ambitious, all this kind of stuff. So they say to work together. So, of course, Elle immediately wants to know where her office is because she's spoiled. So she says, where's my office? And they go, that desk in the corner, that is yours.
Mm-hmm.
And she gives him this laundry list of crap that she needs. And in no time, she turns her desk into some sort of hideous pink nightmare. With, like, she has wedding stuff up in one place.
No, it looks like some
legal stuff in the
Pepto-Bismol over the
whole thing. Oh, God, yeah.
Yeah, it's terrible.
Half this movie's like that.
Ooh, yeah.
So then, now we get to the staffers who are fighting. So they're all arguing over bills and, like, who, you know, they're accusing people of kind of, you know, trying to slum their way into getting favors from political people or, like, you know, oh, yeah, you're only going and seeing this person's grandson because you're trying to get close to, I think it was John McCain's grandson. So she's like, you're hanging out with John McCain's grandson because you want to get close to John McCain. He's like, well, yeah, well, you had your head in some politician's lap, blah, 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 and they're all, like, fighting. And Elle comes up and starts singing at them.
You were looking at me like I had a John McCain joke there.
I didn't know.
I swear, you were like,
I was waiting
he's got
for
a John McCain joke. And guess what, folks? I don't.
Oh.
Yes.
Yeah, I was waiting for you to say you do. I was like, yes.
Nope.
No.
Nope. That's although, Elle's kind of a maverick in her own way. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's not a joke. I'm just saying she's kind of.
She is.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So, the staffers. Elle is singing. She's got this thing that's the snap cup. And it says, like, pink chalice.
Mm-hmm.
And she's explaining to them that when. Yeah, the snap cup. And she's snap explaining cup. That when something. Like, when people are arguing, instead of arguing, you write nice notes about
warm
one another.
Fuzzies.
Yeah, warm fuzzies. And you put it in the cup. And then you. Read them out loud.
And then you snap.
And then you snap. Snaps to so-and-so. And so...
Can you do that again?
Snaps to so-and-so.
Okay. That's just why I wanted to see you do that.
But you know what's funny, though? When I was in school, I was like in sixth grade or fifth grade, we actually would hand out warm fuzzies.
Sure.
They were like those little... They were like these little, like, puffball thing with
the
googly
with
eyes
googly
on
eye it. Things?
Yeah.
Oh, everyone did.
Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah.
I love those things.
Don't act like you're the only one that handed out a warm fuzzy.
How the hell would I know?
I mean, it's so great that you handed out warm fuzzies. Good for you.
It's so awesome how you restrained yourself from destroying me.
We're talking about the snap cup.
You get a cold prickly for that. Anyway.
Maybe I like
so she so she tells everybody to go through it and leave a note.
Then we only met like three of the staffers.
Oh, yeah.
And then
so
all of a sudden
staffers
three more
there.
Come up.
And then three like phantom staffers from nowhere show up. And I swear it's three dudes.
Where did they come from?
In like Secret Service
Where
outfits.
Go?
I have no
Where
clue.
Where did they come from?
Cotton Eye Joe. So Elle pulls out the first message. And it says,
oh, it's from me.
It says, what's what mine? Do Elle Woods and the Snap Cup
Oh, no, that's from someone else. She pulls hers first, and it's something.
Oh, yeah, it's something nice about somebody whose outfit looks nice.
Yeah.
So then she pulls the next one that says, what do Elle Woods and the Snap Cup have in common? Ooh, a riddle. And she flips it over, and it says, they're both stupid.
Which, that joke is stupid. So let's add our own, okay?
Okay.
Go ahead.
Yeah, yeah.
What? Go ahead. Do the whole thing first. What do blah, blah, blah.
Do I have to do Elle Woods?
Yeah.
Okay.
Reese Witherspoon, Elle Wood.
What do Reese Witherspoon and the Snap Cup have in common?
Go ahead.
They both used to be filled with alcohol.
Good for you, Reese. What do Reese Witherspoon and the Snap Cup have in common? They're both in this terrible sequel. Good for you, Snap Cup. Go ahead. You got another one?
What do Reese Witherspoon and the Snap Cup have in common? The person who pulled over don't know what either of them are.
Good for you, person who pulled them over. What do Reese Witherspoon talking to a cop and the
cup, the Snap Cup, have in common?
What?
They're both full of Big Little Lies. Good for you, HBO. Go ahead. I think we're done. Let's go.
No, okay, not even
you got
a,
another one? Not even one for, you got another one?
Yeah. What do you... What do Reese Witherspoon in this movie and the Snap Cup have in common?
I don't know.
They're both shallow, fragile, and covered in pink.
Jeez.
Nothing.
Good for
anyway.
You.
Movie. Yay, yeah, snaps. Okay. Anyway.
But we were kind of giving Cole Prickly's out.
Oh, yeah, we were. It's all right.
It's okay. We had to watch this movie.
Don't you know who I am? So, Elle and Grace go to the Committee of Energy and Commerce, or ENCON, meeting, which is chaired by Congresswoman Libby Houser, who's played by Dana Ivey.
Doogie's cousin, or aunt, Doogie Houser.
Yep. She's been in lots of things before. Great character actress.
Yeah.
So, Grace introduces, says she wants to speak, introduces herself, and then yields her time to Elle, who, like, babbles on ad nauseum.
She said, to the lady in pink.
Yeah.
I put more like mild mauve.
It is.
Yeah. It's
kind of a mauve. Yeah. So Houser basically shuts her down.
Doogie.
Elle gets shut down by Congresswoman Houser. So Elle, dejected, comes back to her apartment. Sid, the doorman, tries to cheer her up and says, "Hey, I got a package for you here." And she says, "You know, inside that is the most perfect pair of shoes, you know, that for my wedding, and I'm not even excited about it. That's how, like, down I am." So he encourages her to put them on. So she goes and kind of, you know, shows it to him and perks back up. And I think part of the thing why people do like these movies, she perks up and introduces herself to Sid. She doesn't look down on him because he's a doorman.
No.
She's just like, "Hey, you're a person and I love you for who you are." Mm-hmm. You know, and kind of like learns about him and talks with him, makes friends with him. So... later, she is in the park, and she's walking Bruiser, and you see this guy, who, is played by Bruce McGill, yelling at a homeless man who obviously asked him for some money, and, she's just like, "Man, people are so rude." So she gives $20 to the homeless guy, and Sid is there walking a dog and says, "Hey, you need to get Houser in your corner." And she wants to know how he knows all this. Well, he's been being at that hotel. He overhears things. He's learned a lot about the game. Yeah. So he's really knows a lot about the
political
machine.
She needs to get a
political
makeover.
Yep.
That's what he says. Yeah.
Yeah. And so...
I think he's walking Marmaduke, too. I think he stepped out of the Marmaduke movie.
Yeah, he does.
Let me give you some
Marmaduke
advice.
Marmaduke voiced by...
Lee Pace was in that movie, but who was it?
Owen Wilson.
Owen Wilson, the other Wilson.
The other Wilson brother.
Chicky Cha Cha.
Chicky Cha Cha. Anyway, he says she'll also need Congressman Stanford Marks, who's like an NRA Republican from Alabama or Arkansas or somewhere in the South.
Yeah, so we're setting up, you know, characters that will be important later on.
Yeah. So now, and actually a little while before this, Bradley had just said, "You know what I appreciate? This movie has not really relied on montages."
I did.
To get its point across.
Yeah.
And then we, very shortly after that launched into our first montage.
Yeah. It's probably because I felt like it was coming up.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, you kind of, with these movies, you kind of feel like, here comes a montage.
Yeah. So she's bill writing. Writing the bill and doing wedding planning all at the same time.
Right.
And we see it's called Bruiser's Bill, named after her dog Bruiser.
Right. She's reading a book.
Yeah, and it's... Oh, yeah. What was the book called?
Everything You Always... It's a national bestseller.
National bestseller, right.
Everything You Always Wanted to Know About Passing a Bill
but were afraid to ask. And I think it did bump off Girl on the Train.
Yeah.
After 5 weeks, I was number one.
Well, that makes sense.
Yeah, totally.
Everybody wants to know how to do that.
National bestseller? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Whatever.
So she's reading that, and it cuts back to she's wearing like a pink hat and like a pink trench coat.
She looks like Inspector Gidget. Remember?
She looks like Inspector Gidget. She looks like she's wearing a pink version of that thing Kellyanne Conway wore, where she's like the hot dog on the stick girl.
Ooh, that's good too. Yeah, she kind of is.
So she, and of course, Sid is editing her bill for her. So Elle goes to all the congressional staffers trying to get sponsors on her bill. At their next meeting, Rudd tells Grace that she has to help Elle because Elle really hasn't gotten anywhere. And of course she says, look, you're not going to do anything if you don't have this bill. Or if you don't have a bill even ready, why would we waste time? And of course she says, oh, you mean like this bill? What? And just drops it to her.
Booyah. So, I actually think Regina King is an interesting foil to Elle.
Yeah.
But there's nothing wrong. Like, I think
here's
another aspect or another way of looking at things in the world. And so I think that helps bring out the L character as far as being positive even more, because she wants to, you know.
Yeah. And Grace basically schools L on how idealists are broken all the time.
Right.
How, you know, you hit the street and till your feet are covered in blisters and you're sore, and in the end you just get your heart broken. And this place
right. Or this movie, or us watching this movie.
Yeah.
Now, Sid shows up a lot in this movie without holding the door. Like, he spends a lot of time not working that door.
I know.
I was like, wait a minute.
Well, he's probably at that age where, you know, he probably doesn't need to be there.
What age?
Probably.
The new heart age?
Yes.
Okay, go ahead.
He's
got a new heart.
I'll come back to it.
Yeah, it's fine.
Elle tracks down Hauser. She says she's going to do things her way instead of trying to go through these staffers. Mm-hmm. She manages to track down what salon Hauser goes to based on different things like, you know, the kind of cuts they do and hair philosophy.
I took that class.
Did you?
Yeah.
Was after your underwater basket weaving classes and golf. So she goes
extra credit shampoo.
It was like a Mission Impossible style, like board and like operation where they're all like coordinating with each
kind
other.
Kind of.
And Paulette actually does something good in this part. She's like, she tells them, we did a study on like different things, and this philosophy, obviously, it ties back to this hairstyle as part of this philosophy. And there's a DC area salon that's real close.
So they, you know.
Yeah, it was like Paulette actually did something of use. She goes to the salon and sits down next to Hauser and starts trying to just chit-chat with her and talk with her and, like, work her way in.
She's all gruff.
Yeah, and Hauser's gruff and grumpy and doesn't want anything to do with her. Tells her to leave her alone and all this. She is next to her in the salon chair and starts talking, and Hauser chews her out. And she said, which is the most ridiculous thing I hear in this movie, by the way, is she says, you know what? She goes, I've always had the highest regard for redheads as a fellow hair minority.
Oh, yeah, she does say that.
Yeah.
What?
Oh, privilege. Anyway, but the, so I was like, wow, that is really the most ridiculous thing.
Mm-hmm.
So Elle notices Hauser as she's sitting there. She noticed Hauser has on a Delta Nu ring, and that's her sorority, Delta Nu.
Ooh,
and
here
so
we
she
go.
Has one around her neck too. And so she goes, Elle does, and so she asks the congresswoman some things about Delta Nu that only she would know. And so they both do this kind of like dance, And they dance around and just like start like giggling and jumping around and turning into a couple tittering little girls. It was so.
She's a girl at a slumber party now. She was all grumpy.
And now they're besties.
Yeah. No, no.
So, Elle gives her a bunch of facts and figures about her district and why she should listen to this animal rights bill. Hauser says, I don't know, but I am willing to listen.
472. That's the amount of dogs that are in your district or something like.
Dog owners in your district. Whatever. Yeah. So then we get to Elle, who is flower shopping, and Sid's just with her.
Yeah.
Talking through stuff. Yeah.
Meanwhile, the people in that hotel cannot get into the door because they don't know.
they're all at the windows.
They're like, how do we do it?
How do we do this?
I don't know how to work a doorknob.
Somebody throws a trash can through one of the windows and just walks.
We made it. Sid gets back. Not again.
Oh, man.
Shouldn't walk Marmaduke.
You should hire more than one door holder. So... Elle gets a 911 text or whatever. I guess it wasn't a text. It was like a pager. But it's like a gold bone with a pager thing on it that says Bruiser on it.
Yeah.
So she's called to the doggy spa. So she turns out there was an incident. So Bruiser and... this other dog, Les, who we actually take it back. We'd seen them
before, like in the park.
Yeah. So Elle gave this guy a pink, like poopy
doggy bag,
yeah. Poopy bag.
Thing. Not doggy bag, but poop dog bag.
Yeah. And of course, Bruiser and his like Rottweiler are just enamored with each other. You see him looking at, and Bruiser's wearing this little pink skirt deal. And whatever, just dressed up like she always has, Bruiser dressed up.
Right.
So we see it again. The man and shows up at the same time Elle does. And we actually see the receptionist is it's Ruth Williamson. So most recently she was in...
Feud.
Feud.
Yeah.
She played Mamacita in Feud on FX.
She's wonderful.
Yeah, wonderful. Yeah. And she's been a character actress for a long time. She's great.
Yes.
So the receptionist says, well, there was an incident. You know, your dogs were humping. First one was humping, then the other one was humping the other one, and whatever. And so the congressman says, yeah, Les is a real stallion. And Elle goes, oh, I just blame too much testosterone and blah, blah, blah. And
wait,
then they
stop.
Wait, what? And then they realize. What?
They're two.
And you see, they're
kind
of confused until the receptionist goes, your dogs are gay. Like, very.
Gay.
Yeah, by the way, she pronounced it very hard. So they have gay dogs. Now, Elle and.
Bow Wow. Wow.
So. Elle and this guy are now sitting at the Jefferson Memorial, I think, talking about their dogs, who, by the way, are now, because they're laying next to each other and just, like, cleaning each other.
Yeah.
But now they're both wearing leather.
Right.
This like, is you were like, my dogs are gay.
Oh, I might
better
as well
put on some leather
better
gear.
Better put on some stereotypical stuff.
Yeah.
By the way, I put Bruiser is no longer a Chihuahua.
Yeah.
Now he is a golden receiver. Ba-dum-bum. Good night, folks.
Oh, that's so true.
Yeah.
I guess one of them is Top Dog. Anyway, so while she's talking, she and the guy are asking, like, you know, where did I go wrong? You know, Elle says, well, you know, most dogs like to chew shoes. Bruiser always liked, like, wearing mine or something like that. And the other guy said, well, you know,
this stereotypical,
I blame this and this.
Like,
and he says...
Very bad jokes.
Yeah. And he said he blames his wife for buying it from a homosexual boutique.
Right. Great, thanks.
And then in the end they said, you know, I just want what's best for them. Which is like, oh, yeah, all right.
Oh, good.
And then we realize that that man with the dog is actually Congressman Stanton Marks, the NRA Republican.
Now, this actor, some of you listeners my age, which is other than him, will know him from MacGyver. He played MacGyver's friend.
Yep, Bruce McGill.
Yeah, Bruce McGill. He played MacGyver's the airport pilot.
Yeah,
or the airplane pilot.
And he was in Matchstick Men.
He's
been in a ton of things.
He's kind of an actor that just kind of shows up and you're like,
he's a character actor. Yeah, he's been in a lot of things. Yeah. But he's a very good actor.
But mostly known for MacGyver, at least for me.
Yeah, he was in, was he in Black Sheep, I think, also?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
Is he one of the bad guys?
Yeah.
Yeah.
With the,
good call.
With like the congresswoman or whatever she
was,
senator. Elle realizes that he's a congressman, and she ends up getting a hearing then.
Mm-hmm.
So when Rudd basically cut back to the staffers who were talking about, like, I got on somebody's calendar for 6 months from now, boom, or 6 weeks from now,
boom.
Talking about how they're doing it the slow way.
Right.
And then Rudd comes in and praises Elle because she got – this hearing,
mm-hmm.
She made it happen. She went out there, and
you can't
Elle
have a hearing without a bill,
right? Oh, that's what. Yeah, when she has, that's
well,
when
I
she
got a
brings
bill
out
right
the bill.
Here. I went to Kinko's and ordered a bunch of pink paper.
Yeah,
here you go.
We have a surplus. But the nice thing was, Elle, when Congresswoman Rudd says something about it, Elle gives credit to the whole group.
Yeah,
she's like, this was a group effort.
Yeah,
you know, even though it wasn't, she's not gonna. Throw anyone under the bus.
Yeah.
Even though, you know, perhaps they deserve it, but she's not going to be that person.
Right.
Which, again, you got to love that about the character.
I do.
So she gets the bill in front of the committee. Hauser and Marks ask everyone to keep their minds open. And they just trash her bill. Like, any which way they can, while listening to like some rhetoric from scientists that some cosmetic companies sent in. They're just peddling crap.
This is when this movie gets kind of really ridiculous.
Yeah. Rudd tells her it's okay and tomorrow will be better. Sid, which was kind of funny, Sid is coming to see her, so he opens the door to give her some additional information.
Yeah,
of course, when he opens
it,
people start filing in and out, which... If anybody has ever been stuck holding the door, where you're like, oh my god, what's it gonna stop?
Also, like, everyone decides they want to leave the building,
and then all of a sudden you have to choose which person you drop it on,
which person you're gonna be the asshole to.
Yeah, you just gotta like
and
weigh
like,
your options.
Eeny, meeny, miny,
well,
mo.
They're an older, old lady. I'm not gonna do that, or that's a kid, or I'm just usually like, hey, you don't look like you could hurt me. Drop.
Yeah.
So,
usually it's a white woman.
So he brings her some information. He goes, well, she goes, oh my gosh, why are you doing that? He goes, Ed, don't worry, it happens to me all the time. He goes, well, my break's almost over, so I gotta go. A very well delivered line.
Oh, it's Bob Newhart, of course.
Yeah. But then so while he's doing that, Rudd takes a call from someone who she calls Bob. Who basically is telling her to shut down Bruiser's bill.
Right.
And you get the sense that he's holding some money over her just by the conversation.
This is a little twist of fate that maybe I didn't quite see coming, but whatever.
Yeah.
I mean, so, Sally Field's kind of like the bad person in this movie. I didn't quite see that one coming.
So,
she doesn't really play it very well. I don't think she does. Not like
well,
soap-ish.
Not at this point either.
Yeah.
But, I mean... She's
it's kind
bad,
of like
but
it's
she's
kind of an afterthought, though.
Yeah,
I feel like they were writing it and they were like, "Wow, how do we kind
she's
of?"
She's bad,
it?
But she's not bad. She's just playing
the
political game.
She's just doing.
She's
it.
Not evil.
No,
whatever.
I know, she's not evil.
So, Elle the next day is on C-SPAN, and she's speaking to the committee about how animal testing affects them. And she goes...
And all of a sudden, C-SPAN's ratings went through the roof that day.
Yeah, because people were like, something different's happening.
What?
So she talks to the first congresswoman who... She's like, that lip gloss that you have is tested on dogs like Bruiser and puts Bruiser up on the table.
Puts a little name tag.
Name tag that says Mr. Bruiser.
Mr. Bruiser.
And, you know, says, you know, that's that lip gloss, which she identifies, like, from 100 yards away. But they also call out to, like, she's like, how could you have known that?
Yeah.
But she says, this is what it is. So, you know, that's tested on this. And you obviously wear, like, moisturizing gloves. And, of course, the congressman hides his hands. And she's like, it's okay. But it's tested on this and this and this. And she goes through the guy where she goes, and your childhood dog, when nobody else would play
just
with
want
you.
Her to, like, L to, like, forget this. Don't be a lawyer. Be, like, a detective.
Yeah.
And do where you solve crimes through, like, cosmetic stuff.
Yeah.
Well, I could tell it was you that killed Bob because you were wearing the lip balm that was coconut.
That's what happened in the first movie.
I know, right?
Linda Cardellini, she That's put true. Away. Yeah.
That's true. I forgot about that.
So she tells a guy, she's like, you know, your dog that, you know, whoever, like, he played with you and nobody else would. You know, would you want him to go through this? And, of course, the first congresswoman starts crying. And
I'm like, that's how you do it. You guilt them.
Yeah.
Guilt them.
Yeah.
Do it.
And
that's how you work Washington.
And so then she looks at, she goes to Congressman Marks.
Marks.
And yeah. He's like, don't. And she says, you know, could you look at Les in his beautiful eyes and tell him, you know, that you would want this to happen to him. And she kind of coaxes him. When he did this, weren't you so proud that blah, blah, blah. And finally he goes, you know what? I admit it. I'm going to come out as the owner of a homosexual dog.
Right.
And he's like, and I'm an NRA and this and this and this. And I have a homosexual dog. And I was like, okay. And then he's like,
movie's progressive.
Yeah. But then he says, I would do anything for the little flamer.
Yeah.
And then he goes, but, you know, I look into his sissy eyes and this and this and this. And I'm like, Jesus,
I've
man.
I've seen that dog. Stop that dog trying. Could probably rip your face off. So.
But I was also like, dude, stop trying to help. You're not making this better. But, you know, he basically, he's saying, hey, we need to do this. And so everybody, of course, cheers and whatever. And just when it's at that, like, peak ridiculousness, Rudd comes in and withdraws her support of the bill.
No!
Dun, 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 dun. Dun, dun, dun.
Boniva.
So Elle sits quietly in the hearing room, and you see everybody clear up, and she clear out, and she's still there. Rudd shows up and says, hey, I'm sorry, but Grace outmaneuvered you. Grace pushed through to get this other bill going, and it's going along, and I have to throw support behind it. She negotiated that.
So now Grace is under fire.
Ooh, very nice.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Somebody somewhere just her ears perked up.
And when you mean someone, you mean Brett Butler.
I do mean Brett Butler.
Because she's she listens to this podcast.
She does.
Yes, while she's drinking.
Yes.
A lot.
Yes.
A lot.
A lot.
Mm-hmm.
What do Brett Butler and the Staff Cup have in common?
They're both full of alcohol.
They're both currently full of alcohol.
Good for you, Brett Butler.
Brett Butler. Grace under fireball. Anyway.
Ooh,
so, Elle is disillusioned because all of this is just secrets and trades and backdoor deals. So she goes to talk to the Lincoln Memorial.
Yeah.
So she's talking to Lincoln and, you know, basically says, how did you do this? You know, were you even honest? She's like, I would hope, you know, like she's talking about, like, she
Please
believes
tell
in
me,
him.
Please tell me, statue. Come to life and tell me.
And crush her.
And crush me.
As she's talking, the other staffers show up.
Including
minus Grace,
three other people that we don't know.
Yeah, including, the three phantom staffers from before, they're not the three same phantom staffers.
No, because now it's just like some Asian girl.
Yeah, now there's an Asian
two
gal
guys.
And two other guys who do not look the same as before.
No.
And so they show up with the snap cup full of warm fuzzies to inspire her. So they said they could all plan on getting what's called a discharge position petition together to basically force a vote on Bruiser's bill. So they basically leave their job and they're basically they quit to go do this.
Quit working for Rudd.
Yeah. Hauser and Marx show up and they say, hey, here's the bill we're getting through. We signed it. You know, but they want other people to go up and sign it too. And of course they have their own. It's pink and scented like everything else. Same joke as before.
Mm-hmm.
But nobody goes up to sign. Of course there's people sleeping in the house and there's people just talking. Nobody's going up to sign the bill.
Mm-hmm. So basically what happens nowadays.
Yeah, like for legit, like that is not a joke. That crap happens.
Yeah, so no, I felt like they just were filming
the real. I thought so too. So she's like, we need a new plan. So she calls in Margot, Serena, and Paulette to help canvas for signatures.
Of course.
Yeah, they actually, so the thing was Margot and Serena were not even supposed to be in the rest of the movie. They were only supposed to be in the first scene. But as they started kind of tweaking the script, because Brecken Meyer made a bunch of updates, because he did
Brecken Meyer.
Yeah, he made some changes to the script later on, so he added them back in, which is fine. I think they had some good moments too, some bad moments, but some fun moments.
Yeah.
So Margo and Serena get all the basically they're walking around trying to get signatures. Like Tim,
they're kind of, they're trying to corner everyone.
Tim
to get
is
signatures.
Like skateboarding.
Yeah, I think they're trying to bore everyone into submission to sign the bill.
Yes,
because they're pretty boring.
Yeah, and so Margo and Serena, of course, they go to room 216 and they're like, intern orientation. Why do people keep sending us here? Callback joke. So all of a sudden they're like, wait, I have an idea. So now begins the dance number. So they show up and to get support for Bruiser's bill, all the interns are have their shirts tied weird or whatever. They're all trying to be sexied up and doing cheerleading stuff. No, uh-huh. And then there's the male interns are act on their hands and knees acting like they're dogs. Yeah.
Worst flash mob ever.
Yeah, really it is. And seriously, it's like the congressmen are like, ooh, like ogling the female interns. And the
they were doing both.
Well, and the congressmen were like, ooh, ooh. And like one of them like sticks out her tongue
at
the guy who's like the big guy on the floor.
Weird.
Yeah. And so they get done with their ridiculous dance. But what's even more ridiculous is that everybody then is like, somebody just goes, I gotta sign that bill! And runs.
Oh, I gotta sign it!
And all the Congress people are running.
Footsteps everywhere. Yeah.
Running. Gotta sign it.
So Rudd gets a call.
That dance was hot. I gotta sign it.
I gotta sign this. It's the only thing that'll make
foot
me loose straight
and
again.
Fancy free.
That staffer guy was great. Rudd gets a call from Bob again, who tells her to shut L down. And of course, Rudd is just getting schemier and evil, more evil. Like she's like, what'd she say? Don't worry about it. I'll get Elle Woods and her little dog too.
Right, but that joke went flat.
Yeah,
you're gonna do that joke, even though it's a bad joke.
Yeah,
you gotta punch that joke, and she didn't punch it, so it just got lost.
So
it's also generic.
So, Rena, and things that were happening, like Paulette was giving people new hairstyles, which would meant, like, Congress people were like, I love my hairstyle. I'll vote for your bill.
Oh, I'll vote for it.
So, Tim.
Ridiculous.
Comes in and sees Rena Giuliani.
Giuliani.
Who has a new hairstyle. And he's just, like, kind of enamored with her. They snap him out of it long enough for him to tell Elle someone is working against her. Because people who signed up and said they would help early in the day.
Right, are now backing down.
Yeah, they're backing down. And so she's like, but we had him at breakfast. Well, somebody must have met with him at lunch. Okay. So, because things only happen over meals. And so Elle goes to talk, or Elle talks to the congresswoman who she's like, I was trying to find Grace. And she said, wait a minute, what were you doing at lunch today? And she says, getting a facial. Okay. And so she leaves. Later, she corners Grace. Basically.
Talks about the bill that.
Yeah. She talks to Grace. Grace says, I wouldn't have supported whatever bill
right.
that you she know, said I support. That's ridiculous. It
would benefit the rich, and I'm not
going to
do that.
Yeah, I'm not doing that. I want this and this. Yeah. And she goes, you know why I'm so hard on you? Because I used to be that idealist.
Yeah.
And you're getting stuff done, and it hurts a little bit.
Yeah, so it's honest.
She goes, I have to look back at myself and see what I did.
Yeah.
And so it's honest. And she says, Rudd is actually getting ready to do a shoot, like a special with Connie Chung.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And she goes, wait a minute. Or she's in makeup right now. She goes, wait a minute. Makeup? And so she goes back. So.
She discovers that you do a facial.
Yeah. Oh, and before this, that was the other thing. Before this, before she confronts Grace. Like, Congressman Hauser went through this whole bit about, like, or Congressman Rudd went through this whole thing about, you know, we can stop now. They're going to free Bruiser's mom.
Oh, they're going to free Bruiser's mom, yeah.
And all the animals at Say Magnifique. And Say Magnifique wants you as their lawyer. So you just have to give this up and leave D.C. and you'll be fine.
Yeah.
And so.
But she's like, but what about the other animals?
Yeah, and she's like, F the other animals. And, you know, just, it'll be fine. So as she's disillusioned, that's when she goes to confront Grace.
Yeah.
My apologies for skipping around.
It's okay.
But while they're talking about that, she pieces together that Rudd's been working against them. She says, you know, if you're supposed to get a facial, you cannot put makeup on right away.
Mm-hmm.
Because it'll, like, reclog the pores and everything. You're supposed to wait for a period. So you didn't go for a facial. I checked. You didn't. You had lunch with the guy. You're working against us.
There you go. Bum, bum, bum.
Rudd says, I couldn't help it. It's Grace's fault. Grace was doing all of this. And, of course, by this point, Grace is around the corner and hears it and is hiding and listening to it all. And Elle calls her out and says, Grace wouldn't do that.
Right.
You're lying to me. What's going on? And Rudd drops the act and basically says, oh, my major donor is going to back out on me.
Right.
And if I don't do this... You know, they have stock in this company.
This cosmetic company.
Yeah. And if I back out on this, they're going to put money behind whoever else is running against
money,
me.
It's all money, you know. Yeah,
I mean, it's kind of reality,
kind of.
She tells Rudd that she should be better, that, you know, you should do the right thing. Like, didn't you have these morals and ideals? And... of course, the congresswoman's like, oh, what are you going to do? Hold this over me now? I suppose now I owe you. And she goes...
Yeah, I don't blackmail people.
She goes, I don't blackmail people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm better than that. So then she leaves. And Regina King is still standing there kind of disillusioned and sees that the sound check that was going on...
It's been all recorded.
It's all been recorded. Yeah. So she has a tape of it. You see it over there. So you know she's going to grab it.
So Regina King's like... Yeah, I might not blackmail people either. I have black female people.
There you go.
She's an African-American woman.
So Elle goes back to her place where they're having some sort of like weird politician party.
Yeah, it's like, weird. Like all these people are there.
It was like
it's
the Playboy really mansion all of a sudden. Yeah, so she tells Margo and Serena, it's time.
Yeah.
And they break out these calling cards.
She says something about, like, I remember what I told you, that no one looks good in Paisley.
Oh, yeah.
Right? And I put, that's not true. I bet you Brad Paisley looks good in Paisley.
Oh, you think so?
Yeah. His last name's Paisley. He has to.
I don't know about that.
Or just in Paisley.
Do you think
in general.
He avoids Paisley?
Maybe.
Ooh,
maybe he should open up a whole like chain, like a fashion thing of Paisley shirts.
Or if he becomes like a super villain and goes crazy and just wears Paisley all the time.
Okay. Anyway.
So Elle goes back to her place. They get on this calling tree.
So it's another montage.
Yeah, it's another montage of girls calling each other, sorority girls, and basically saying, "Hey, it's so and so. This is happening. Oh, it's so and so. we head here at so-and-so. And then they finally go to, like, the one. It's like a dude.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know what the deal was supposed to be.
I don't know. I think it was just a joke.
Yeah, part of me was like, oh, somebody transgender. And then I'm like, nope, it was a joke. Never mind. There's a lot in this movie that I'm like, oh, boy.
Yeah. It kind of.
What are you doing? But they all decide that they're going to go to D.C. for the Million Dog March to support Bruiser's Bill.
Million Dog March.
Yep. Including there's a booth, and there's all these people with booths out there where they're, you know, they got information going on. One of them is the Gay Dogs of America booth.
Sure.
Which is now staffed by Congressman Marx and Paulette. Yeah. To show their support of Bruiser's Bill.
I think Scrappy Doo is the president of that.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Has to be.
That makes perfect sense. Lassie? Anyway, the...
Benji?
Ooh, yeah. Probably.
Yeah, Benji, maybe?
Yeah,
probably. Barkley? Nah. Not Barkley. From Sesame Street?
Okay, folks. Who do you think the gayest dog is?
Who are those gay closeted dogs out there? In pop culture.
Who is the president of the Gay Dogs of America?
Submit that on our Facebook page at the Deuce Podcast Facebook.
Yeah. So now Emmett shows up.
No,
Snoopy. Emmett shows up and says he wants to get married in D.C. because it's important for him. And she says, well, but Fenway Park. And he goes, I don't care. I need to be wherever you are.
Oh.
Oh. So, yeah. So, at final count, they're missing 15 signatures. Grace calls and tells Elle that while Elle may be above blackmail, she certainly is not. So, Rudd is going to give her time up to let Elle speak in Congress.
Right. She blackmails Rudd.
So
she's speaking a la kind of, you know, what's that movie that Luke Wilson was watching? Jimmy Stewart movie.
Oh, the Mr. Smith Goes
Mr.
to
Smith
Washington.
Goes to Washington. She kind of does. Yeah. Oh, it's a Mr. Smith Goes to Washington moment. Only it's not.
Yeah. So Elle decides to forego doing the Bruiser's Bill speech because she has one all prepared. She kind of passes it to the side.
Ooh, she's going to wing it.
And then I start, like, kind of tuning out. She starts blathering on about about hairstyling.
Oh, my God.
Which somehow
losing them. You're losing them.
Yeah, which somehow parlays into believing in yourself.
You're losing them.
And speaking up for what you believe in.
You're still losing them.
You could have just gone with that.
Yeah. Or you could have just read the speech you had.
Yeah.
Which was probably better.
So, in the end, everybody gets up and cheers
it's
for
her. It's not a real well-written speech.
Not particularly.
I think Reese
Witherspoon
does what
she can. She says something there about getting
a
bob with bangs, and
it's
I don't know
really
what's happening.
It's bad. I think this speech is kind of out of character for her.
Yeah, it's weird.
If you're going to do it, you're going to do it right.
She puts her little inflection on it, gets to the point,
Reese
right?
Witherspoon tries the best to sell it to the movie audience.
Yeah,
best
she does.
Can, but it's all in the writing.
Yeah. No, but I mean, like, as for her character throughout the thing, she'll always, like, start off with, like, a little, like, so I went to this hair salon, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
But then it, like, gets to the point, and this was really not. It just blathered on for a while. So then we cut to epilogue cards, basically saying what's going on.
Epilogue cards.
And it's just
favorite.
Stuff going on, like Sally Field looking bewildered that people are applauding. It says Elle got her 218 signatures.
Yeah.
Rudd was the 218th.
Ooh.
Bruiser's Bill was passed.
Sure.
Bowing to public pressures, animals were released.
Just out of the wild.
And they have
there's a shot of like all
James
these animals.
James Urbaniak and like it's kind of concealed, but obviously.
Octavia Spencer's
Octavia
character
Spencer.
Is just in the background.
Yeah, is in the background. And they're just literally, they have the door open and dogs are just running into the
wild.
Dogs,
pigs.
And then
ducks.
Pigs and then ducks.
Yeah.
Don't worry.
Don't call anyone. Just let them out.
Yeah,
don't
just
call
let them out. That's the way to do it. They're all rabid and hopped up on whatever you've been testing them with. It's okay. Also, by the way, those ducks, don't worry about them, because people at Adidas are going to come and get them.
So you're going to have to pass a bill for Adidas.
So then it cuts over, and you see James Urbaniak, like, running up all happy with Bruiser's
with
mom.
Bruiser's mom.
Kind of like skipping over to them and reunites the family.
Yeah.
Then they say, Paulette finally got her hot dog.
Okay. Good for you, Paulette.
And it's her husband, the UPS Good guy from the first movie. I got my hot dog. I'm Paulette. And they do. Her husband brings the home plate from Fenway Park.
Yeah, we've not seen him through this whole movie.
No, he's from the first one. But yeah. But if you don't remember that he was a UPS guy that she married, you're like, why did this UPS guy just show up and shove a hot dog in her mouth?
Right. Oh, yeah.
Is that a UPS service?
Oh, yeah.
Can you do that?
We didn't have a scrapbook that had her exposition. So.
Sign here, and they just shove a hot dog in your face?
It's a new technique that all UPS drivers are doing.
They just feed you.
Here's your package. And a hot dog. The end. Could you sign for this? Here you go.
He delivers home plate, and of course she's all like, ha, 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 when he delivers it.
Yeah.
Elle and Emmett got married. Sid got to take care of Bruiser's mom.
Yeah.
So Bruiser's mom lived with Sid. Yeah. Then we cut to Congress, where Congresswoman Rudd is reading out of the snap cup.
Wait, what
and
the
she
hell?
She goes, Congresswoman. She goes, this Congresswoman.
Hauser?
Congresswoman Hauser. She sent her three kids or one of her boys off to college. She did this and this. And she negotiated a successful deal between blah, 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 and blah, blah, blah. Snaps to Congresswoman Hauser. And the whole Congress, like, snaps with her.
No. No. Then they drive. They got married. And
yeah, it says Rena.
Driving away,
it says
right?
Rena was planning on proposing to Timothy.
Yes, that's true.
And then it says they're driving away. And Luke Wilson goes, well, now that we're married, where do you want to live? And she goes,
do you
want to
live in Boston?
I think I know just the place. And looks over as they're driving by the White House and then winks to camera.
Which I was like, ooh, now we're going to spin off and this is going to be House of Place Cards. Yes. So you've been deuced.
Dose.
I was Legally Blonde 2. Red, white, and blonde.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
Go ahead.
So you've heard what we've thought about all of this. But I think we want to hear from some other folks.
Sure.
Hear some reviews.
I got this person named Hannah164.
Hannah
as a palindrome. Hannah. She gave it a 1 out of 10.
Ooh.
Sucks in ways I can barely explain. This is great. I had the misfortune of seeing this movie while on a wonderful trip to Greece. As the plot rolled out, I sank lower and lower in my seat. I was actually embarrassed to be North American. Not just American, North American.
Right.
Consider, Elle goes on a mission to find her dog's parents so she can attend her wedding. Not her dog's wedding, her wedding. Now, think about that. I guess it's sort of a spoiler, except it's revealed in the first 10 minutes because it's the whole premise. Yes, that's the peak. It goes downhill from there. I felt particularly annoyed with Reese Witherspoon. Now, she strikes me as a fairly intelligent young woman. I love most of her stuff. I enjoyed the first movie. I had high hopes. How did this happen? Was it just about the money? Was it a bet? A dare? Dumb, dumb, dumb. She had to say it three times. Dumb, dumb, dumb. To be honest, I would rather have been attending a dog's wedding. So 1 out of 10 there for Hannah. I do love, like, you know, that was funny. Sucks in ways I can barely explain. Yet she does explain it pretty well.
She has a good point.
She does have a good point. So this person, actually, this was the highest I could find, which was 6 out of 10.
Oh.
Okay. And it is from A Button 68 is their name. Disappointing. 6 out of 8 says disappointing. Coming from someone who loved the first movie, this one was disappointing.
this film just did not make me care or laugh like the first one. There are funny moments, but not comparable for the first one. Reese was wonderful as always. That's all it says.
Yeah.
Like, it could not really find a good positive thing about this. But I think that's a shame. I don't think this is as bad as people give it out to be.
Yeah.
There's certain this is not a good movie.
No.
But there's certain aspects of it. And maybe, go ahead.
Yeah, I think around that, like, 6 out of 10. I mean, probably a little bit higher than I would give.
Really?
A little
this
bit.
Movie?
I might give it, like, a 5.
Oh, I would give it a 5. Oh, you mean, like, lower? Lower than a 6?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd give it, like, maybe a 5.
Yeah, I would, too.
4.55,
yeah,
something like that.
Yeah, after that, you're getting pretty brutal. But,
yeah.
You know, I think my biggest issue was, and I know we try to avoid, like, getting into the, well, here's what it was in the first movie thing. But I think the thing was, like, in the first movie, I remember, like, there'd be these moments where Elle was kind of, people treated her like garbage based on her looks and, like, how she acted and who she was. And there was, like, the scene where she comes dressed up to a party and nobody else is dressed up. They lied to her.
Uh-huh.
And, like, I sincerely was like, oh, my God. Like, I felt bad for her. Like,
yeah,
and she you can see the pain in her face, especially while she's still struggling to stay positive during that.
Yeah.
And they were great moments. But, like, a lot of it in this, like, when she gets beat up and comes back in and she's kind of like, but I guess I'll try on shoes. I'm like, this is all
very... Yeah, it doesn't work. I feel like she's tackling Washington, which should be tougher than tackling anything in a sorority, right?
Yeah.
You figure,
yeah,
like, normal life would tell you otherwise, right?
Mm-hmm.
So she, like in the first movie, we felt for her. Like, we had this empathy for her. We still have the empathy a little bit, but, like, it's not to the point where, like you said, the gamble isn't there.
Yeah.
Even though it should be, because your plot is Washington. We're tackling something on bigger.
Yeah.
But we don't feel as bad.
Yeah.
And we want her to, like, grow from that and go bigger.
Well,
I think maybe that's why this film doesn't work.
And the first one was a lot of her, like, basically living by her wits and trying to, like, you know, showing you can be strong. And a lot of this one was, like, I'm going to call in my crazy sorority thing. Like,
yeah,
I
it's
can
almost
tell
like
you.
She had to, like, yeah, she had to, like, I don't know. Like, she couldn't do it on her own.
I was in a fraternity, and I can tell you, I mean, people do get jobs based off of, like, hey, I know you.
Right.
Through whatever, but that's not, like, not necessarily, like, here's your auto job, whatever.
Right.
Or, like, I'm not going to get a busload of people out to see you.
Mm-hmm.
I think the most I ever got was, one of my fraternity brothers and I were talking about something, and the guy realized that we were also in the fraternity, and he was too, so he was a bartender, so he gave us some free drinks.
Sure.
That was as profitable as that got with whatever. But
having said that, I don't, like, I love the character of her.
Yeah.
Because she is a very positive character.
Yes.
We don't see that enough in movies, and we don't have that character where she's like, well, you know what? I might be down, but I'm not out.
Yeah.
Because if you have to do it, you got to do it yourself. We don't see those characters anymore. So having said that, I enjoy the character of her.
Yeah.
But I feel like it's just the writing wasn't there. The writing didn't let her grow even further from what she was.
Yeah.
And when it was kind of like half-assed. Do you know what I mean? Like, it just was tacked on at the end.
You know, and during this time she was doing, and I don't know if she was just burnt out. I mean, she's pregnant. She's trying to, you know, get through that. And she had just done
Sweet Home Alabama.
Sweet Home Alabama, not Crazy in Alabama. Sweet Home Alabama. And so I don't know if she was just come burnt coming off of that, and, you know, now she's pregnant and going through those kind of changes.
Reese Witherspoon has kind of a funny career in that, where, you know, she had that rise of this, where she was kind of like that romantic kind of movies, and then she hit with the Oscar win for Walk the Line, and then it kind of just dipped.
And she did Snow
Dogs. Then she
dogs.
Had some personal problems. Yeah. But then it is coming back, especially this year with Big Little Lies with HBO. So it kind of swings and comes and goes. So, you know, good for her, you know, and good for her because she is a lot older now. And so she is getting roles that are kind of pushing her. And I heard she's wonderful in that show. So,
Well, good. Yeah. So, but I love her positivity. And I love that she sticks with, because how many movies do you see where they're like, we're going to play it my way, and then it turns into like revenge thing, or they get tricky or whatever.
Right.
And I, in this, she very much is like, I'm not going to blackmail you because I can, I'm better than you. And I was like, yes.
Why don't we do our five questions? Because we're already talking.
There you go. So what's your favorite part?
Go ahead. You first.
It's upbeat.
It is.
It's upbeat.
I agree.
And I think it's okay to be upbeat.
I love the positive. I like the positive message.
Yeah, I do.
I love all the positive messages that this movie brings out. Now, it doesn't do the same as the first movie.
Right.
Like, it doesn't do it the right way. Like, or like have the same impact as the first one does.
I agree.
But having said that, that doesn't mean it's not positive. Yeah. And I love that. I love these. You can, like you said, you can put this movie on and enjoy, you know, your day and kind of just not think about it.
Yeah, exactly.
That's why I think people give it a hard time, because I think it's just meant to be what it is.
Yeah.
And maybe people take it too
seriously.
It's
cheesy and like ridiculous in points.
Yeah. Having said that, that does not mean it's a good movie.
No, it does not mean it's a good movie. But it is very upbeat. And I like the idea of a character that is like, she wins people over through her positivity.
Yeah.
But also,
that's my favorite too, I think.
There's that, and it was kind of a toss-up because I think this has a strong, like, supporting cast.
I was going to say that, too.
You have a
like
lot
the
of
casting director?
Yes. And although the parts weren't great and they still were ridiculous, I think your supporting characters, a lot of them were great. Like, especially their expressions, their, like, how they dealt with, like,
Newhart
a character
did
that was a throwaway.
Job.
Yeah.
Even Octavia Spencer.
I put Alana Ubach, Jessica Caulfield, so her two friends, James Urbaniak, just for the brief time he was there, I thought was funny. Octavia Spencer,
Bruce McGill,
Dana Ivey, Ruth Williamson, Luke Wilson, Marilyn Reichscub, and of course Bob Newhart.
They did what they were supposed to do. Having said that, I just don't think the script it's the wrong script.
Yeah,
and it could have been better.
Yeah, completely agree.
Yeah.
But I think for what they had, they did a good job with it. It just was not a great foundation to be built
okay,
on.
Well, think about it this way. If I was a young girl, which obviously I've never have been a young girl.
Right.
If I was a young girl and I watched this movie, I would have a different aspect or a different reaction to it. I'd be like, yeah, go. You know what I mean? Like, here is someone that is showing a positive aspect to say, I can do what I want and I can, my dreams are there. And I'm the only one that has to do that. I need to pull myself up and do it myself. So having said that, that means that she's a positive role model. So that's a very good thing about these movies.
Yeah.
So if I was like a 13-year-old girl watching this movie, I'd probably enjoy it a lot better than as a 30-year-old man. I cough every time I say my
age.
That's
weird.
It's so weird.
It's weird how you say 32.
Wow. Yes, exactly. I said 32.
Okay, so reboot, continue, or cancel?
No, you're going to actually disagree with me on this one, but I think actually reboot or do something with it, because I think we need a character like this. I keep saying that I think we've come too cynical, especially nowadays with the climate and the political climate. Why not do something that's more positive? Make a movie out of it, or not a movie, but like a TV show out of it. Do something. Just have better writing. You got to have the right person to play the blonde. It doesn't need to be someone who doesn't need to be Elle Wood. It could be someone I don't want to say it related to Elle Wood, but it could be someone maybe in the same sorority.
So like, you don't think it should be, I don't know, Elle Wood's twin cousins from London?
No.
Okay.
No, but I want a character like this for some reason.
Yeah.
I don't know why, but when I watched this movie, even though it's a bad movie, I felt refreshed to see that type of character on screen.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know if you did, but I did.
So I said, first off, cancel the Legally Blondes piece.
Yeah.
Like, that needs to stop. I don't want a series.
See, that's
things.
Why I was like.
But I kind of thought, I guess I didn't know it rebooting you. I almost wanted to, I thought maybe it would be interesting to almost give it like the to give it the Boy Meets World, Girl Meets World treatment.
Like a Disney kind of thing?
No.
Oh.
I mean, like, a new movie.
Okay.
With a character who either is positive or has to learn to be that. Maybe come at it from a different direction, okay, a different kind of a situation.
Yeah.
But at this point, whose mom is Elle Woods.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Yes.
And maybe Elle is different now. Maybe yes. She isn't like as positive as she was. Maybe her daughter brings that back out in her. Maybe.
Oh, I got you.
But you know,
why not have that?
So you can have that, but then like you can that. Also have a mother-daughter dynamic to deal with in there too.
And then that could give Reese Witherspoon a little bit more of a dynamic of a character.
So it's a reboot in the fact that now it's focused on the daughter. The daughter is the main character.
Okay.
Or the son. It could be whatever.
Right. I think the daughter would be more of a female kind of thing.
Sure.
Would be better.
But the but then also have Reese Witherspoon who's in there, and then you have both like the new generation and the old generation of Legally Blonde enjoyers who can watch that.
Would be like Legally Blonde Baby Blonde?
I don't know about that.
Okay. I was trying to think of a title of it. But I think we both agreed that I think this character, there needs to be more positive characters. I don't want to be all like, hey, it needs to be all saturated in sunshine and happiness. We need, you know, our sarcasm out there.
Yeah.
But I think we need something that balances that too as well.
It's easy to break something
down.
Yes,
it's so easy. Go ahead.
You know what we shouldn't do? A stage musical.
There is a stage musical. I forgot about that. I don't know if it's good. I've never listened to the music.
I think
I
think it's really popular with like high schools and like
community
theaters right now.
Why wouldn't it be? Like that's what I see. I see this thing as like kind of like the Legally Blonde, like the Saved by the Bell. Like it's a time capsule for what it is.
Yes. All right. Do you think this stands on its own?
Yeah. I think it stands
really?
On its own. I mean, yeah, kind of. I mean, she's in Washington.
Yeah.
I mean, it's been a while since I've seen the first one, but go ahead.
I say no.
Okay.
And because, like, there's much going on with the sorority that, like, I mean, we really just accept, or we really have to know that she was in the sorority in the first one and, like, what she did there.
I'm
going to
be honest
like.
With you. I cared about the first probably 30 minutes of this movie. I was really into it.
Yeah.
And then about 10 minutes after we were in Washington, I was done with it. I was just like, I don't really care for it. It got too goofy.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Very quickly, it got too goofy.
I agree.
Having said that, I think the first half of it kind of stands on its own, and like the second half doesn't.
I would agree with that. I would agree with that. Does it make you want to see the first movie?
Yeah. I think, like I said before, like I just like I love that character. I love the whole idea of that positiveness. So yeah, I think it's good to have more of a refreshing, you know, idea of it, and it's fun to look back. And I think this would be an okay movie to look back on, you know, and go okay, there we go. Well, it's a carefree time. When this movie came out, it was different. Like when did it come out? It's got to be around like.
It was 2003 or 2006,
right.
Something like that.
You know, and that's kind of that was a rough time in America, was around the early 2000s with 9/11. So maybe, you know, it could be a time capsule of like how we take something positive and roll with it. So I kind of want to. It's on Hulu, so why not?
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah. You?
Yeah, it makes me want to see it.
Yeah.
Because I do. I think it's a stronger film.
I think it's a strong film. I think it doesn't hold up as much as we think it does, but I think it's a good movie.
But as unbelievable as the first one is, it's much more believable than this movie.
Yeah.
Like, I kind of get behind it. And I'm like, yeah, okay. You're fighting for yourself.
It's goofy.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Yeah, this one is just way past that.
Yeah.
So.
This is not a good movie.
No. It's not as bad. It's not a one.
No, I don't think it's one.
So.
Oh, people just crapped upon this.
Yeah.
I don't know why I'm all mad about that, but Entertainment Weekly gave its top 25 worst sequels.
It was number
like 20. And I was like, yeah, I mean, it's not a great sequel.
Right, right.
And I don't know how you're measuring that. There's certain ways of measuring that. But we have done worse movies than this film.
Oh, yeah, we have.
On this podcast.
We have. We definitely have. Finally, two words.
Oh, Legally Wrong.
Legally wrong?
Legally wrong.
Okay.
A lot of that stuff in Washington, I was just like so far-fetched.
Oh, God, yeah.
Even like to the point where even if it is a goofy movie, let's have some realism to
yeah.
it, though. You could be goofy and it'd be a little bit real.
I love
a lot of it was legally like wrong.
Not even that. Just like, hey, I've told you I'm a sorority sister of yours, and now you're suddenly nice to everybody.
Right.
Now it's like you were like, oh, I've been released from my 1,000-year slumber. And, you know, it's like,
finally, I found another one that I can talk to about my yeah. sorority. Go ahead. You're too.
I think I'm going to go with Snap Cup.
Snap Cup. Why Snap Cup?
Because, you know, as goofy and whatever as it is, we should challenge ourselves to just give somebody a little positive encouragement every day. You know, go to somebody and say something about, you know, what they do and say, you know, hey, you did this great.
I can't remember. Is the Snap Cup in the first movie?
No, not that I know of.
It's not in the first movie.
I don't think so.
Okay.
I think that's new, but I can't remember. I might be blocking it out. But you know,
I don't think it is.
You know, it's here, I'll start with one. How about this? Legally Blonde 2, Red, White, and Blonde made it to theaters and people went and watched it.
Good for you, Legally Blonde 2.
Yes, a lot of movies don't even make it that far.
Now I'll do one. Ready?
Okay.
We watched Legally Blonde 2. And we're still alive.
There you go.
For us.
Yay! Here's one.
Okay.
We want to thank all of our listeners for being with us through, is this the 15th episode?
15.
Thank you for being with us through 15 episodes and listening and downloading. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
You know, definitely get out there and join the Facebook group. And go and you can download us at...
Rate us on iTunes?
Yeah, rate us on iTunes. Where you can get it on iTunes. You can get it at Google Play.
Share us with your friends?
Yeah, share us with your friends. You can go to thedeucepodcast.podbean.com and download us. Or leave us notes there.
I'll take your suggestions.
Rate us there, too. You know, share us and like us and whatever you got to do.
What's coming up? We got a couple of good episodes coming up. We have a series coming up. We just finished our patriotic series. We're going to do a different, not musical series, but more stuff to do with, like, movies to do with music.
Yeah, movies related to music.
Right.
Yes.
We're going to do Grease 2.
Yep, Grease 2 is coming up.
Pitch Perfect 2.
Pitch Perfect 2.
We're going to start off with Sister Act 2.
Sister Act 2, yes.
I think we might have a special guest for that.
A very special guest for that one.
Ooh, that's going to be a good one.
Yeah, this one is, I'm very excited.
It's a holy guest.
A holy guest, yes.
A holy guest, maybe. Hold on. We hope. So
we tell you, but it's none of your business.
Sister Act 2, Back in the Habit, is one of my favorite titles of any movie, regardless of sequel or not. Anyway, we thank you for listening.
Yes, thank you.
We say the bottom line is, if you want to watch this movie, watch it. Pull positive stuff out of it, because that's what L would do.
Yeah.
But if you don't, just stick with the first one. Yeah. I think you'll be fine.
And you know what? We challenge you, our listeners, to take some time out to say some nice things to folks in your world tomorrow.
Snap cups.
And go forward. Snap cup. You don't have to snap at them. Because that might make it weird.
That's going to make it weird.
But take some time just to say something positive to someone you wouldn't otherwise say it to. Or, you know, go on the Facebook page and leave a positive note for us or a member or whoever.
There you go. And remember, the sequel is king.
And give up. Simon says to pack it up. Shot down from all sides. Don't know why I tried.